This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 1752. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all the dynamic medium of international shortwave between the AM and FM bands. On this edition, recorded December 18th, Australia, Austria, Bangladesh, Brazil, Costa Rica, Cuba, France, Germany, Mexico, North America, Papua New Guinea, Russia, Rwanda, Spain, Sweden, USA, Zambia, Publications, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. The hostage situation in Sydney, Australia, led Radio Australia to preempt its usual programming. On December 15th, Ron Howard in California was listening to a relay of ABC local radio in Sydney 702 on 15300 before and after 0500 UT. I was listening before and after 1400 UT when all the Radio Australia frequencies were still carrying this, as the situation was not to be resolved for another sesquihour. So now we know what it takes to get Radio Australia off the Triple J network, which they normally run after 1300 with that throwaway music. However, by this time, the coverage was originating with television, as at 1500 they informed us on shortwave, "You are watching ABC's continued coverage." I beg to differ. David Koenig of Interval Signals Online says, as recorded in the latest World Radio TV Handbook, Radio Bangladesh has a new URL for its website. It's also been given a revamp, including comprehensive frequency info, but he could not find a live audio stream. It is www.betar.gov.bd. However, when I looked it up, I did see buttons for live AM, live FM, and on-demand news, including in English. But that news was very muffled with poor audio. It turns out you won't see the buttons on all browsers. It was publicized as reactivating shortwave in 2013, but nothing much came of it. But now it has shown up again. The Brazilian on 9725 and 11935, which used to be Rádio Clube Paranaense in Curitiba. Meanwhile, its medium wave station has been known as RB2, which is short for the original call sign, PRB2. However, I can't be sure if the 2 is masculine or feminine, since it's just written as a number, not having heard it myself. Anyhow, this was first reported by Rudolf Grimm in São Bernardo, São Paulo, Brazil, on December 12th. He was hearing it at 1310 UT on both frequencies by December 15th. I checked around that time but did not hear it, not surprisingly, since we don't get much from Brazil on 25 meters in our mornings. Nor did I hear it in the evening, so its schedule may be limited or still irregular. We are still hearing extremely distorted modulation peak spurs coming out of the high-power Brasilia transmitter on 11780.1, but no one else seems to care or to bother to report them, least of all the Brazilians themselves who need to fix the problem. Lately, they've been at separations of 33 kilohertz above and below the fundamental frequency. That means around 11747 and 11813. However, it can get worse with multiples of 33 further down the dial. December 13th at 0700, I was hearing this on 11648, 11681, 11714, 11747, 11813, and 11846. If you're a long-time shortwave listener, you will remember Radio Casino, TIQ, in Puerto Limon, Costa Rica, on 5954. Raul Saavedra tells us, the longtime radio announcer at TIQ in English, and a personal friend of his, Sidney Walters Thorpe, passed away October 6th at the age of 94. He was born in 1920 in Guaito, Panama. He became an iconic air personality starting in 1950, driving his late afternoon show from 5 to 6 p.m., called Shopping Time with Music Along the Way, and then from 10 to midnight, Musical Caravan. On December 17th, we made a point of listening to Radio Havana Cuba's first English broadcast at 2000 UT, which was 3 hours after the big joint announcement about the normalization of relations between the USA and Cuba by our respective leaders. I wanted to hear how RHC would cover this. After leading the news with it, they had some other stories, and then did a voiceover English translation of Raul Castro's complete speech. Unless I zoned out at some point, he never mentioned the second U.S. spy, which was released and remains anonymous, and he mentioned Alan Gross only once. Of course, he was mainly concerned with the release of the Cuban Three. It remains to be seen, as a lot of speculation has immediately erupted about whether normalization on the radio waves will also follow, finally putting an end to jamming, but I think that's looking far too far ahead. I've been trying to check Radio Havana Cuba's schedule on its website for over a week, but it's been intercepted by the service provider in Cuba, the ICRT. Did Radio Havana not pay its internet bills? So I've been unable to check whether there have been any changes posted on the schedule to go with changes we hear on the air, such as after 21 UT, Spanish on 11950, a frequency which had been scheduled at other times, and I was not hearing any Spanish on 17730 at that time, so maybe it's been replaced, or it was another of their frequent mistakes. On December 12th, Rémi Fries in France reports to the British DX Club, Radio France management announced today the station is facing a 20 mega euro deficit. It means that some of the less important programs, such as FIP and Le Move, may be scrapped in the near future, but the most likely measure will be the closure of all AM transmitters on medium and long wave. No date has been announced, but as things stand, no one knows if the transmitters will still be on the air by the 1st of January. Not to be outdone, this report about Germany, originating with the website radiosena.de, via Idun Ritz, mediumwave.info, via Alan Pennington in the British DX Club. It's headlined, NDR is to close its 4 medium wave transmitters on 13 January 2015. That's 972, 702, 792, and 828 kilohertz. And also, other regional German broadcasters plan to close down their medium wave transmitters, WDR, SR, and BR. So this will definitely be the last Christmas for Norddeutscher Rundfunk on medium wave. Now, how about external broadcasting, shortwave, what's left of it from Deutsche Welle? Kai Ludwig reports this. Deutsche Welle director Peter Limburg proposes drastic cuts in case the Deutsche Welle budget is not increased, abolishing 10 radio or online languages, or up to 10, which would leave little but English, as well as linear television in German, Arabic, and Spanish. The head of the DW Works Committee says that Limburg has crossed the red line and asks not yet for his withdrawal. There was to be a demonstration in front of the Open Gate in Berlin about this. And based on various press reports, Kai Ludwig adds, the Chinese service of Deutsche Welle is again under severe fire, this time due to a controversial cooperation with China Central Television and the firing of a freelancer. A number of freelance positions at Deutsche Welle are to go. Much unrest is around, with the wildest speculations already projecting a complete closure of the Bonn seat, increasingly resulting in open self-censorship. The descriptions read like stuff one would have believed to be out of fashion in Germany for 25 years. And he adds, outside the current showdown, what has already been planned for the period until 2017, closure of the Kigali-Rwanda station, keeping shortwave in particular for Afghanistan and Africa, while adjusting to the continued shrinkage of the use, further cutting back transmission volume, focusing English programming to audiences in Africa because its use elsewhere has largely diminished. However, one of the English broadcasts has just been canceled for several hours, according to Ivo Ivanov, effective December 20th. The Kigali frequency 7425 from 04 to 06 UT and 12005 from 07 to 08. Some Hausa broadcasts are also canceled. Norddeutscher Rundfunk has planned another Christmas Eve special broadcast on shortwave. It's called Gruß an Bord. It's for families to greet their mariner relatives at sea. And it's in two segments. Wolfgang Büschel has put together the times, frequencies, and transmitter sites as follows. On December 24th, and of course it's only in German. From 1905 to 21 UT, 6125, 9685 via now in Germany, 9925 via France, 11650 via France, and 11800 via Austria. And the second portion, from 2105 to 23, on 6040 and 9515 via Germany, 9765 via Austria, 9880 and 9925 via France. Each of these is aimed at various parts of the Atlantic and Indian Oceans, but nothing for the Pacific Ocean. Neil Cazaros near Chicago reports there is a new station in Mexico on 1060 kHz, or rather off 1060 by 76 Hz to the high side. It's XERDO. He was hearing around 0400 UT with an ID as La Raza 1060, La Estación para Todos. It's in Reynosa, Tamaulipas, and it has moved from 1450 in Matamoros, so it now should be widely heard with 7 kilowatts. Unfortunately, it's further interference for Radio Educación in Mexico City, which was once a clear channel on 1060, and not to be confused with another off-frequency station, mostly in Spanish, KIJN, in far west Texas. Countless hours of watching snow on my TV set, at least peripherally, finally paid off December 15th at midnight 7 UT, with two brief fade-ins of sporadic ETVDX, the first in a few months. My antenna is now permanently aimed south, and there was immediately recognizable the big 7 bug in the upper right, meaning the Azteca 7 network from Mexico, and in all probability, the usual station we get on Channel 2, XHTAU in Tampico, Tamaulipas, not yet converted to digital on some other channel. Tim Rato in Iowa was hearing a persistent carrier on 3905, December 14th, around local sunrise, 1315 UT, along with occasional snippets of music. He wonders if it could be NBC Papua New Guinea. There was a lot of amateur interference, of course. Thomas Nielsen in Sweden has been able to hear it in southern Sweden and says most likely it is PNG with a very weak signal, almost no audio. Sign off some seconds before 1412 UT, and the direction fits since the best signal for him is on his flag aimed at Asia. A slight correction to last week's item about the so-called Patriot group even playing music on the 80-meter ham band. The date was November 30th at 0500 UT, and the frequency was 3843 LSB, not 3848, says Bill Hassig. More about that Russian pirate on 7200 variable. Ivo Ivanov in Bulgaria reports an UNID with non-stop Russian songs between 14 and 15 UT. By 1500, Radio Omnilon in Arabic was on the frequency. Well, there had previously been several reports about a communist pirate in Russia called Radio Comintern, and Dave Koenig also says this. It's been reported on this frequency, and there's a YouTube clip of it. Ruben Pankov in Bulgaria reports to VCDX, the so-called Comintern radio, at 1445 UT December 5th on 7199.4, drifting to 7199.8, with patriotic military songs, plus one sung by Vladimir Vysotsky. According to Russian sources, it is located at Rossosh, R-O-S-S-O-S-H, Voronezh Oblast region, using its own homemade transmitter of 500 watts, but modulation peaks at 3 kilowatts. You're listening to World of Radio number 1752. You may read much more at our website, worldofradio.com, both of which depend on voluntary financial support from our friends, including Will Martin in St. Louis, who sent a check supporting both to P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK, 73702. One may also contribute, not necessarily in U.S. funds, via PayPal to WORADIO at yahoo.com. News broke on December 16th that Radio Exterior de España would resume shortwave transmitters on December 18th. Thanks to Marty Delphine for forwarding a report from Europa Press. However, those of us who turned on a radio found it already started that very same day, although perhaps only on a test basis. We were hearing 9620 best during our afternoon hours. It went off a few minutes after 2300, also audible much weaker on 12030. There's been a lot of speculation about the exact frequency schedule for the revived REE, which is actually just relaying domestic radio. But here's one version from the Bulgarian DX blog based on registrations. They are in three different groups. The daily frequencies are 16 to 22, 17715, 16 to 24, 17755, 18 to 24, 17850 and 21610, and 19 to 23, 15110. Saturdays and Sundays only, extended broadcast from 16 until 24 on these four, 9620, 11685, 11940, and 12030. And Monday through Friday only, from 20 to 24, on 9620, 11685, 11940, 12030, and 15385. Here's another special event on Xmas Eve via Harold Kuhl of the British DX Club. Another transmission by SAQ, the very low frequency Alex Anderson alternator, 200 kilowatts, in Grimaton, Sweden. 17.2 kilohertz, December 24th, at 0800 UT, but it'll start tuning up around 0730. There will also be related ham radio activity by SK. 6SAQ on 3755 and 14215 SSB, 7035 and 14035 CW. They invite reports for QSL to info at alexander.n.se. That's the single letter N in the middle of that email address. On Friday, December 12th at 15:25, I was hearing a civil air patrol net on 14902 USB. Lots of check-ins. I kept hearing the word Tri-Blade used as a call sign, such as Tri-Blade 43, which I could not find in any of my old references about the civil air patrol. However, Walt sends something more recent, explaining that the USAF has granted the CAP National Traffic Net the collective call sign of Tri-Blade. Henceforth, the NTN will also be known as the Tri-Blade Net. Concerning this program, World of Radio, we regret to note that our broadcast has failed to appear on WWRB in Tennessee, 3185, for the last couple of weeks, and before that did not appear successfully. They apparently have had a lot of trouble, for some reason, downloading and playing our file. Since I've heard nothing further from them, I have come to the conclusion that we're no longer to be heard on WWRB, and I'm not even attempting to send them the program. But it was nice while it lasted. On the other hand, I'm glad to report that measures have been taken to assure that Global 24 plays only the latest World of Radio episode at the scheduled times there, which are as follows: Thursdays at 22:01, UT Fridays at midnight 30, Mondays at 22:01, UT Wednesdays at 04:01, and Wednesdays at 22:01 once again. Fortunately, for the rest of the year, you may have trouble hearing Global 24 at all, because for some reason, it's been switched to another transmitter and another antenna than they had been using, no longer aimed north, but aimed south on 9395, 181 degrees. This is due to some work they're doing on the system there, but Jeff White says starting next year they should be back on the northerly antenna 355. As for World of Radio times, on Radio Miami International itself, one of them is on the 315-degree northwestward antenna, aiming right across North America. That should be best, especially in the winter. 7570, Fridays at 21:30, when it's also on 15770 toward Europe. The other WRMI times, Saturday at 1000 UT. There was an error in the program schedule showing this as Sundays, but Dave Kenny in the UK confirms that we're actually on Saturdays at 1000 on 5850, and Jeff White confirms this timing will be maintained. Also Sundays at 2300 on 11580, Tuesdays at 1200 on 9955, Wednesdays at 1415 on 9955. UT Thursdays at 0430 and 1330 on 9955. In the few weeks after its launch, at the beginning of November, Global 24 was getting lots of positive reviews from around the world as a great new concept in private shortwave broadcasting. But around Thanksgiving, they lost power and internet, and everything seemed to fall apart for a while. Programs did not appear as scheduled, or old episodes were repeated of various shows, or there was fill music. And just a few tunes over and over, such as Horse with No Name, something by Bach, or the 1812 Overture, and a few others. We hope they're getting this straightened out, and we may hear properly scheduled programming by the time they're back on the North Aiming Antenna next year. World of Radio, of course, is also on KVOH in California, 9975, UT Sundays at 0231. We've heard from Ray Robinson, operations manager, that we are planning to expand our evening broadcasts on 9975 to run 7 days per week from January 1st. Also, our newly acquired 100-kilowatt transmitter was moved into our building on Chatsworth Peak. We are now working to install it and hope to have it on the air during January. So that should take care of the under-modulation problem. And there's more news coming up shortly from the Voice of Hope. On Sunday, December 14th at 1346 UT, on 1540 kHz, I was hearing the Assemblies of Yahweh in Bethel, Pennsylvania. That was obviously KXEL in Waterloo, Iowa, carrying the program from Elder Jacob O. Meyer, deceased in 2010. This led me to check the WMLK website, since he used to have a shortwave station on 9265, and the website shows a lot of work on their antenna, which was damaged in a storm. However, I see that there are no entries there since March 26th of 2012, so it looks like they're not making any progress, but they are on a few big AM stations such as KXEL, not to be confused with the pirate station YHWH on various shortwave frequencies. The station log for the Assemblies of Yahweh also shows some outlets in the Caribbean, including an imaginary Radio Anguilla on 1530. Maybe it was sold to them by a phony broker. Also shows out-of-date medium-wave split frequencies for Dominica and Grenada. Artie Bigley forwards a thread from RadioInsight.com about the 1300 station near New York City, WRCR, saying they are moving to 1700 AM and going up from 500 watts to 10 kilowatts daytime power, which is the maximum allowed on the X-band. They expect to cover all five boroughs, New Jersey and the Hudson Valley. George McClintock in Nashville, Tennessee, is involved not only in WTWW, but in a new station, WBOU-LP, Catholic Media Productions. That call sign has been approved. It stands for Bridge of Understanding. I asked George if he was aware that WBOU years ago was the call sign of one of the VOA shortwave transmitters in Bound Brook, New Jersey, and he said he was not. George is the director of radio for Catholic Media Productions, and he says WBOU will be on 100.5 FM, running 100 watts at 175 feet. Big news this week from Ray Robinson of Voice of Hope in California. The parent organization of Voice of Hope has completed a transaction to purchase the former Christian Vision shortwave site near Lusaka, Zambia. It includes 150 acres of land, 12 buildings, two Continental 100 kilowatt transmitters, two high-gain TCI antennas, and a 750 kVA standby generator. Although the equipment is transmission ready, there are still some logistical details to work out, such as local staffing, license transfer, studio to transmitter link, selection of frequencies, etc. We'll be working to return the station to the air over the next few months, hopefully by Easter. A press release has more details. Strategic Communications Group is the corporate name. It announced the purchase. Signals from this facility will soon be available to more than 1 billion potential listeners across the continent of Africa. The superstation will operate as Voice of Hope Africa, broadcasting the gospel of Jesus Christ in English and several African languages, as well as providing news, health, and other information programming to audiences throughout the continent. SCG President John Taylor said, shortwave signals continue to cross political, social, racial, economic, and cultural barriers. It is notable that China's explosive growth in shortwave broadcasting has increased their audience worldwide and has filled the void left by retreating Western countries from the powerful medium. I believe shortwave is the perfect medium for carrying the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. Unlike other forms of mass media, satellite, terrestrial television, AM, FM, and printed materials, shortwave radio signals can still be sent without program content being restricted in any way. And because of its unique location, plans to expand the Voice of Hope's footprint into India and China from this location are also being evaluated. SCG is in the planning stages for a state-of-the-art Global Technical Operations Center in the Los Angeles area, allowing efficient monitoring and technical support of all Voice of Hope broadcast transmitter sites in the U.S. and abroad. The 2015 World Radio TV Handbook has arrived, the absolutely essential, unique reference book for the shortwave broadcasting field. You may find out how to order it, and it's also available in a CD-ROM version at WRTH.com. Or you may order it from, for example, Universal Radio. Fred Osterman at Universal has also sent me a review copy of his latest opus, truly a hefty tome, Shortwave Receivers, Past and Present. It deals only with communications receivers through the year 2013. It's some 800 pages in 375 chapters. Really an incredible piece of work. It's available for about $50 from Universal Radio. One would never have guessed there were so many makes and models of communications receivers. Each is illustrated in monochrome with basic specs, new and used prices, many professional units in the thousands of dollars. Details at www.universal-radio.com. The propagation outlook from Boulder, A and K indices only 5 and 2 December 21st to 27th, then rising to 25 and 5 by January 3rd. Solar flux peaking at 170 December 21st and down to 135 by December 30th. Glenn Hauser concluding, World of Radio, 1752.